But take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. Nehemiah never read Philippians 2, 1 through 13, but he certainly practiced it. And let me read to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you once again for sending your Son, that we might have salvation through Christ's death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, for your long suffering, for your patience. We thank you, Lord, for men and women who are like Nehemiah, that are faithful, who are willing to sacrifice for their Lord. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of Nehemiah, we're going to begin reading in chapter 5, verse 14, down through verse 19, and we find a good example. Now, there are many good examples that come in and out of our lives, and it should be something that we desire, to be a good example, one that is willing to do the right thing. And so we find in Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, it says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I, because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." D.L. Moody is quoted as saying, "A holy life will produce the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They only shine." Unquote. Good examples. In today's world, there are far too many scandals in politics and even in churches. And how refreshing to read of a man who had put serving the people ahead of getting gain for himself. How many have chosen financial gain in lieu of spiritual growth for their own families? Nehemiah not only was in charge of keeping the project running smoothly, but he and his assistants participated in the rebuilding of the wall. As it says there in verse 16, that also I continued in the work of this wall, as did his assistants. He also, according to verses 17 and 18, fed over 150 guests regularly. Now, my wife has been very patient with me through the years when I have had missionaries come or other people who have come, evangelists, etc., and opened up our house and we've had meals. And I must admit, she's never had to cook for 150. I guess that would have been pretty difficult. But can you imagine every day preparing food for that many people, the Jews and the leaders, the guests that came? It would seem from his prayer found in Nehemiah 5:19 that his one desire was to do right by the people and for his Lord, to do right. You know, some have well said if we could just do those two words, do right, that a lot of things in life would be a whole lot simpler in our society. If we were not always looking to better ourselves, but if we were just simply looking to better society. But this is the fourth of a number of prayers that Nehemiah prayed while we see this, read of his account here in the book of Nehemiah. Would you turn to chapter 1, please, in verse 5. We'll read the first nine, we'll read verses 5 through 9. As we see, the first prayer is, he admits that they are a sinful people. And it says in verse 5 of Nehemiah 1, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. We find here this first prayer as he admits the wrongful attitudes of the people and how they have been full of sin and iniquity. And he's asking for forgiveness so that God will bless. Then in chapter 2, verse 4, we find a very short prayer. It says, then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the Lord, I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, we don't know exactly what he said, but I have an idea that, okay, you've given me this opportunity, God, and I'm going to take it. I want to tell the king about Jerusalem and its needs, and help me, Lord. It's good to ask the Lord for help. Chapter 4, verse 4, we're going to find yet another prayer, and he prays because of persecution. And it says there in verse 4, hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. We find that in our lives that there are going to be spiritual attacks and physical attacks, emotional attacks. And you know, when you pray for somebody, it's good to pray for them that the Lord will bless them spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Because these are all areas that Satan will attack. If he can't get us spiritually, then he'll try to bring us down physically. Because when we are physically ailing, it is when we become weak, often in other areas. And so he is praying for help so that he will remain strong. And then here in chapter 5, verse 19, we find that he asks the Lord to remember what he has done for his people. Nehemiah had been put in a place of spiritual leadership. Now, when we think of spiritual leadership, we often think immediately of a pastor or a preacher, an elder. But they are not the only spiritual leaders. Parents are to be spiritual leaders. We are to be an example to our children and to our grandchildren. Now, I'll be honest with you, they may not listen and they may think we're kind of funny and odd, but that's all right. We are to be spiritual leaders. Those who are teachers in Sunday school, they are to be a spiritual leader. And how about others who are leading in our society, such as coaches or police officers or even doctors, people who we put in places of importance, doing what is right. And Nehemiah is a great example to all of us. Let's ponder four different things. Number one, to begin with, expect problems to arise among those you lead. Whenever you're put in a position of leadership, don't be surprised if those that you're leading don't have issues with you. Now, I don't know why that happens, but it does. I remember a few years ago when we went to, I went to Honduras with another church. And I found it interesting that the pastor there was having a hard time getting his people to get involved in the actual work. And one of the men came over to me and he said, "Pastor Paul," he says, "you're going to have to tell these guys to get moving." And I just kind of, in my preacher voice, called to their attention and said, "Hey, let's get moving." And it was amazing. They did. You know, sometimes the people you're trying to lead sometimes take you for granted. And that happens. How often do children take their parents for granted? How often we take people in spiritual positions for granted? May I say this? I need your prayers. And regularly, I need your prayers. Whenever you have people, you have the potential for problems. Warren Wiersbe writes, "Whenever God's work is prospering, the enemy sees to it that trouble begins. Whenever a church is doing well, that's when Satan sticks his nose in and gets people bent out of shape. They get frustrated over the silliest of things. And we begin to take our eyes off the Lord and we begin looking at one another. But our Lord is our leader and he puts others as flock leaders, guiding the flock." One area of concern, don't be surprised if those you lead cannot get along with each other. And I'm not sure why that happens, but all so often people struggle with another. And before you know it, our eyes are off the Lord, and we're on each other. People are choosing sides. People are wanting their way instead of wanting the Lord's way. A second, confront the problems courageously. We are in a very interesting time in our nation's history, in our world's history, as things have been shut down. Again, as letters have been sent to us from our missionaries, we find again and again that there are struggles in many of the nations of the world. many places where they are not back to work, and they're not like our society with credit cards and checking accounts and spare cash, and people are struggling. And so missionaries are having to reach into their own pocket and provide food for people to whom they're ministering. So be courageous. Third, be sure that your integrity is intact. Integrity. You know, once you lose your integrity, once you lose that position of trust, it's awful hard to get it back. And so we need to make sure that we have integrity, like Job, who kept his integrity even during the hardest of times. Can you imagine losing all your livestock? But not only all your livestock, but your children's houses had been destroyed. And it wasn't just that they lost livestock and their children's houses. He lost 10 children. Can you imagine? And yet through all of that, he kept his integrity. He said, even though the Lord slay me, yet will I serve him. A guilty conscience will rob us of the spiritual authority that we need to live a good, godly life as a leader. And to be able to lead is important when God has put you in that position. Finally, seeing every problem an opportunity for the Lord to work. You know, the Bible tells us for all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Not that all things are good, but the Lord can take some of the strangest things and make them happen for good. But we need to trust in the Lord, be faithful to him. You know, as our nation celebrates its birthday in just a few days, we think of those men and women in those early days that remained faithful to the cause. There were struggles. I mean, anytime you read about the early army that George Washington was leading, there were problems. And yet they had a cause. And they were willing to fight for it. They were willing to die for it. And even to give their fortunes, if necessary. And some of them did. Some of those who signed the Declaration of Independence died bankrupt because they had given everything for the cause. What are we willing to give to the Lord? Are we sometimes always, well, I can afford this? I ask you, when was the last time you sacrificially gave for the cause of Christ? See, I don't believe you can outgive God. And I think when you are faithful to give to him, he will make sure you're repaid. And not only here on earth, but in heaven also, if we have the right attitude. Which brings us to the conclusion. If we depend on the wisdom of the world, all we will get is what the world can do. But if we depend on the wisdom of God, we will get what God can do. Someone has once said, you plus God make a majority. A question, what motivates us in our daily walk? Greed or love? The world's mindset or the Word of God? The thinking of society past and present, or the truth of God's teaching? What motivates us? What's behind our actions? Why do we do what we do? You may remember from last week's lesson, the work on the wall had been interrupted by the calling of an assembly and the solving of the economic problems. And now it was time for everybody to get back to their place in the working on the wall. Talking to my cardiologist this morning, he asked me if I thought everyone would return to church and services. And I replied that I thought that some would not return for whatever reason. See, it's very easy to get out of the habit of attending church. It's very easy to get out of the habit of reading the Bible. It's very easy to get out of the habit of praying to the Lord. And it can happen quickly. And may I encourage you, stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to its teachings. And when you possibly can, get back to the house of God and get involved. I think that Nehemiah had to keep the people focused on the task at hand. May I say this? Our spiritual work is not done. There is still much to do. And as we will see next week, the enemies of Nehemiah would be busy. So our spiritual enemy is still alive and active. We must be on guard. This time, Nehemiah's enemies will aim their ammunition at Nehemiah and try to defeat him with four devilish devices. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the Word of God, for the thoughts found in Nehemiah, for the fact that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then we read, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That, Lord, you have provided a way of salvation. Thank you so very much. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.